Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
The month of May continues in Indianapolis. Some good memories for some, not so much for some others that I speak with on a regular basis and trade texts with. Highlights from the late 90s, early 2000s, courtesy of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. Welcome to Trackside, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. Kevin Lee, Kurt Cavan, Eddie Garrison is in our Indianapolis studios back tonight. Day two of practice is complete, and we are 2-for-2 in no issues. That's fantastic. And some storylines developing. Kurt, a lot of things that we think we thought are being confirmed so far.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And you say we had no incidents. We had one that almost was a big one, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I want to start with, I didn't remember that you were in turn two for the 2002 Indianapolis 500. So you almost had a shot to call the controversial moment in turn three between LEO and Paul Tracy.
Well, I saw the crash. It was right in front of me. And you can even hear me mention, I think it was Laurent Redon. Is that his name? What was his
name? That's right. Laurent
that crashed Redon. That my mic came opening, because normally when there's a crash they go back to whatever turn it was, and he crashed right in front of me. And but we don't have control to put ourselves on or off the air. We have the ability to talk in intercom, and that might have been just a case where, you know, I'm talking to my spotter next to me trying to confirm who it is, or I don't remember. But you know, you can hear, and that's the mass confusion and the challenge if you're the studio producer, the mixer of where to go. And it was the right call not to go back to cover up that crash. It didn't really matter who it was at that point. It mattered who is leading the race, because that was the question. But yeah, that's where I started. I did turn two in 01, 02, and 03. So I saw the race decided in 02 and 03 in front of me. That crash that ended it. And then the next year I saw Gil DeFerrin get by Elio Castroneves around lap traffic that he did not navigate it as well. And that's when Elio lost the lead, or he would have been a three-time winner. Or, according to some, he would have won in 01 and 03 and finished second in 02. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I'm glad you weren't the one to say that Elio won the 02 race. You weren't making that call, because now you have to have you have this relationship with Paul Tracy, and that wouldn't go over well if he had to hear that ringing in his ear on a regular basis. I don't think he's fine. I don't think he's fine.
No, he's not fine, but he wouldn't blame it on me. He wouldn't blame it on me on that one. But yeah, those are interesting. Oh, by the way, I've had a couple of tweets on this. It's been suggested we get Barry Green on, and I know I have an email and the 1,000 emails I've received in the last 3 weeks offering him up. So if you've gotten that email and you want to coordinate that, I would say I'm limited on opportunities to do anything right now other than talk. But I'm happy to have Barry on the show, but I think he's got a new book out about his career, and I'm sure that race is a part of it. And I remember on this time slot, sort of this radio station on 1070 WIBC, I remember having Barry Green on the show a few days. And this, you know, at the time, I was not nearly as involved in motorsport and didn't have the understanding of the nuances that I think I do now. I started in the turns because that's a play-by-play job. You don't have to fully understand the sport. And the two guys sitting next to me, you know, knew probably less than I did, Joe Hillman and Jack Trudeau. But we had a great discussion with Barry Green, and he convinced us that his guy, Paul Tracy, won the race. But that was fascinating. And I'm sorry we went down that path. That's a story for another time. Let's talk about today. Take it away.
So By the way, Gordon Kirby wrote that book. He's done a lot of historical books. Actually, by the way, Barry wrote a lot of that book himself. So that'll be interesting. Really smart guy, obviously, for the position he was in for so many years as the you know, the strategist and kind of the lead guy at many different teams, including his own Andretti Green Racing. But another Ganassi beatdown, as far as I'm concerned. Marcus Ericsson and Scott Dixon go 1-2 on the overall speed chart, 229.6 by Ericsson, fastest of the month, fastest of the last 2 days, I should point out. Scott Dixon second at 229.2, effectively. And then the rest of the Ganassi guys were good as well, all in the top nine, with Sato seventh and Pullo ninth. Maybe not as convincing as yesterday's performance, but fastest on the no tow sheet, which, by the way, I don't put a lot of stock in because I'm not sure anybody really gets a lot of great no-toe times, meaning there's always somebody swirling around the racetrack, the air moving and helping and so forth. But you do keep that stat. At least they wipe out the laps that where you had somebody within, now I'm hearing 10 seconds in front of you. So they do keep track of these no-toe laps, and Marcus Ericsson was the fastest there as well. So he was asked today in a post-race press conference, hey, should we just all go home right now? Is number two in the bag for you or another one for Chip Ganassi Racing? And it was Connor Daly jumped right up. He said, oh, no. My team will have something for it, and especially my teammate Ed Carpenter as we get to qualifying as he goes for his – what? I've kind of lost track. I think he's won three poles, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's three. And so he'll be good in qualifying. I think the Carpenter cars will be good in qualifying. I saw somebody ask the question, do you think Ganassi sweeps the front row? I don't. I think two of them will be on the front row, but I think somebody else will jump in there. Today, the third best lap time came from Simon Pagenaud, Meyer Shank Racing. Fittingly, a good birthday present for Simon, who turns 39 today. Will Power was fourth, and Colton Herta fifth. And the rest of the top 10 looks like this. Connor Daly, Takuma Sato, as I mentioned, Pato O'Ward, Alex Palou, and Alexander Rossi. I'm still not sure what to make of today. In fact, I think I know less about today than I did yesterday, other than the fact that I think Ganassi's pretty good. And the reason I say that, if you look across the teams, and I did a chart here in the 15 minutes I had before we started the program, it seems like every team has got somebody that's better than the rest of their teammates. The one maybe example other than the Ganassi team is Harrow McLaren, which had two in the top 10. You know, Meyer Shank, for example, has got Pagenaud third, Elio 18th. Penske's got Power fourth, Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin 20th and 24th, respectively. Graham Rahal was 12th, which was the only top 20 speed for Rahal Letterman Lanigan. But he said, I think I'm the worst car by myself in the bunch. So we'll have to see how that goes. Juncos Hollinger, 15th for Canapino, 32nd for Ilott. So that's kind of an example of we have teams that have somebody that's pretty good. Here's another one. Connor Daly, 6th for ECR. The other two, 30th and 31st on the speed chart. So we've got a lot of discrepancy even within the teams.
And that's where you need to talk to them. And then it's, do you trust them? And often it's off air. The on-the-air interview, it still might tell you, because especially when they get out of the car, sometimes the emotions are raw, and you can't really read the quote sheet. You need to see them and look at body language. And if you know them well enough, I can often get a sense as to whether it's going okay or whether it's uh-oh. And, for example, I asked Hinch near the end of the day on Peacock when Rahal Letterman Lanigan was 32, 33, and 34, and his basic response was, yeah, it's uh-oh time. I'd be majorly concerned. Then Graham found a lap towards the end when everyone was running at traffic. Harvey had never been at the bottom. He was the one that was not in the bottom, and he had always been around mid-pack or so. But and that's one of the ones that we just wondered about. They were not particularly fast last year, And we wondered, did they find something and did they find enough? I'm sure they found something. Everybody keeps getting better. And that's the thing. Everybody keeps getting better. If you watch the end of the Peacock archive, in the last 10 minutes, we did little graphics just kind of breaking down team by team, like you're talking about where everybody was. By the way, patting ourselves on the back, but it's not me. I got nothing to do with it. But our graphics department is on it. The Peacock, NBC Sports, IMSP broadcast. So yesterday, you know, I would do the team by team, and I'm just hunting and pecking, look to my left at timing and scoring, and then eventually said, you know, it's on the monitor. Just look at your television screen. And I wasn't expecting that because in previous years, and I get it, I understand it, but we have had very limited personnel in the truck. It's kind of been more of a small scale production, and the producer might also be doing graphics, but everybody had 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. So I've just come not to expect a whole lot. And they have been adding things, and I'm pulling things out of thin air for previous stories, and they've got video. I don't know how many people we got back there, but it feels like a real race weekend broadcast. And that is quite impressive when you're talking about 6 and 8 hour shows. So thank you to IMSP and NBC Sports on behalf of the fans of going all out for these practice shows. I hope people have enjoyed them.
Amen. I noticed the same thing. And then you made the comment about how quickly the graphics have come up. So I did talk to several people. Let's go back to Graham for just a minute. He's very happy with his race car. Tell me when we've heard that story before. He's very happy with his race car. He said, I can do all kinds of things. Now, he said, though, I'm the worst of our group in raw speed. And he said, truth of the matter is Catherine Legg's probably our fastest car. Now, we've all kind of feared that that car might be in that, you know, bottom six, seven cars. And if she's the fastest one in their crew, well, that doesn't bode too well. So now, good for her. And if that's true, we'll see how it shakes out. But that tells me that they are truly in uh-oh mode as it relates to qualifying. Now, most of our listeners know this, but for those driving around Indianapolis don't know what the next couple of days mean. Tomorrow is Fast Friday. All the teams will have the option to run or will run extra boost. The boost will increase the horsepower upwards of about 100 horsepower. And so you're going to see speeds climb from last year was 5.5 miles per hour for the top of the chart. And then the pole speed ended up being 6.5 miles an hour faster than we had seen on Thursday. So this boost is going to push the speeds up. And as David Malukas, I asked him about it because last year was his first experience running regular boost on Thursday and then switching. And he's like, he said, I was just holding on tight, screaming. He said it was such a truly a boost. And so we're going to find out, you know, how the cars react. He says, Malukas said it's like driving a different race car for the first few laps. So it'll be interesting to see which team harnesses that speed the best. And so that may throw another whole wrinkle into the equation, but we're going to see speeds climb tomorrow.
And which engine manufacturer makes the most out of the extra horsepower that is available. So that might change things up a little bit. And I noted, you know, when we saw in the no-tow report, maybe you still have it in front of you, but I think Will Power ended up number one there, and the Penske's were pretty good. But Will Power was also the fastest on the Thursday no-tow report last year. Now, he did make it into the Fast 12. He was the only one of the Penske's that did it, so he wasn't terrible, but not quite as quick. So that doesn't tell the whole story.
So Ganassi, that car of
that's
Marcus
right. Erickson ended up fast. Yeah, he did that late in the day.
Fastest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And we were surprised that he found clean enough track to qualify for a no-tow speed. But there were a couple that did in the last hour and a half or so. So yeah, that's no surprise. The Ganassis are good. We're pretty sure the Arrow McLarens are good. We know that the Penske's are okay and the Andretti's are okay. We don't know yet, I don't think, whether they're real good, whether they're like front row possibilities or not. We think the Ed Carpenter cars are good. I know that they were down on the speed chart overall today, but they were relatively high on the no-tow report. So I will still be surprised if they're not a factor. You know, the stat I rolled out today, 8 of the last 10 years, front row starter. One of the other years, 4th. The other year, 10th. So that's the only time they haven't been on the front two rows. And a couple of those times, they have had two front row starters. So I'm with you. I do not think there's a Ganassi front row sweep, partly just because of odds. The odds say that one of them is going to get a bad draw in qualifying, and then, you know, maybe end up 11th. And then that means you go out earlier when it's warmer on day two. So I just think some circumstance will lead to that, and somebody else is going to nail it. One of the Carpenter cars, one of the McLaren cars, maybe one of the Penske cars. So odds say that's the case. But I like the odds of it going really well, generally speaking, for Chip Ganassi Racing. Junkos Hollinger. Anybody here from Callum Ilott late in the day? We heard him on the air at right around 5 o'clock, and he said it's better, but didn't still sound super optimistic about the state of affairs.
I would agree with that assessment. I overheard him as I was made a stop by his pit box, and his body language and the way he was delivering the message didn't sound like he was ready to throw the birthday party for Pagano. You know, he has to be, I don't want to use the word, you know, spooked or anything like that, but he has to be a little bit unedged by this. It didn't go well for him last year. Now he's had a car that's not been very good. His confidence can't be where he'd like it to be comfortable to make this race and to perform at the level that he would like. He's a confident race car driver, and if the car is good, he'll be able to drive it. But last year didn't go well, and this year has been a struggle as well. So that's, you know, certainly one that as the storylines are beginning to develop, you talk about drivers and the things they say or the things they don't say and the things they say off air. I thought one of the most revealing things I heard today was the apprehension in Kyle Moyer's voice at Team Penske. He had a real sense of, yeah, I'm not sure what to make of this, you know, and he said it in such a way. I've known Kyle, you know, 30 years, and that was not, he never comes out in his pure excitement, but by the same token, you could hear the apprehension in his voice there. I don't think Team Penske's, you know, in that top 8 to 10 conversation like they would like to be.
I think even if they were 1-2 today, in a different configuration, different scenario than this weekend, I think that might still be the answer, because I've not talked to Kyle about this, but Newgarden has said this, and I think Power or McLaughlin, I've heard them say it as well. I've talked to Joseph about it. We thought we were fine last year, and we just weren't good enough. Yeah. So until you get, even tomorrow is not, unless you get just clean track, and you know your chief competitors have gotten a clean run and are going all for it, which is another story, you're not going to know. So we're going to find out on Saturday, and this is going to be fascinating. And Hinch and I explored what we've talked about as well. He's with me. Top 12. You need – Saturday does matter for qualifying. I know we're going to remember who wins the pole and who gets bumped, but to win the race, you need to get – to that Fast 12 qualifying on Sunday, unless something extreme happens.
Well, I thought the point you made, and I'm sure you had done the research, and now I'm trying to find the breakdown of it. But it was telling, to say the least. But the last 6 years, maybe it's five. I think it's the last 6 years. Everybody who won the race started in the top 8, and almost all of them had started in the top 5. Here it is. The last 5 years have all been, you know, top 5, except for the 8th place start. And so, you know, and before that, you had had guys win from all sorts of positions. You know, famously, Ryan Hunter-Reay started 19th. So it has been more of a, you better start up front because the pace is frantic and, you know, it's difficult to pass up front, and so you better be up there.
Looking also at the bottom, because that's what you do when somebody has to go home, I see Stefan Wilson was 33rd. I don't know what to make of that, and here's what I will say with this. I walked through the garage this morning and checked in with Anders Krohn, our friend who helps run the program, and is Stefan's longtime friend, and then Don Cusick, the owner. And both, we're doing nothing but qualifying sims today. So you're not going to see us out there. We're going to do short runs. So they're just looking as much as they can for open track. So that could be one of those where they're 33rd, but they are, you know, 20th or something like that. And I know they were happy with the car yesterday. So I'd be surprised if things went awry. But did we not? I think we heard from Hunter Ray today, and he wasn't as pleased today as he was yesterday. And that's the team car with Dreyer and Ryan.
Yeah, that's true. You spoke of Wilson. They only ran 53 laps. I think there was only one other driver that ran as few. Actually, there were two. Kanaan ran he ran 47 laps. We had a couple drivers on the other end of the scale run 164 laps. That was Rossi and Malukas. So those guys were working on something different. But, you know, the other thing about Callum Ilott, I hate to jump back to that, but his fastest lap was on lap four, you know, very early in the session. Then he ran 67 more laps and couldn't get there. So,
Maybe they loaded up more on fuel, trying to find a balance. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if that's qualifying sim or not. And that early, I think he had a little bit of a draft to help him out that, but faster than yesterday. So we shall see, and we will know a lot more tomorrow. But, you know, let's say this. How many are worried? And going back to my pessimistic outlook on things and just being worried, because if I'm not in the top 20, maybe top 15, it's kind of like a basketball coach. I remember asking coaches, you know, why are you still pressing high school games when you're up 20 with a minute and a half? And that's because they literally thought they could lose the game. So they kept attacking up 20 with a minute and a half left in the game. And I suspect if you're involved in a race team at the Indy 500 where one is going home, unless you're Penske, Ganassi, maybe not even all of the Andretti cars, you're generally a little bit concerned because you just don't know. But let's go beyond the really pessimistic view. How many are concerned that we are not 100% certain we're making the race? Or 99% certain?
I think you'd have to, include some portion of Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan. I mean, they got four cars, and if Graham, you know, he obviously doesn't speak for everyone on the team, but you know, he knows what's happening across their landscape. I think that has to be one. You know, I don't know RC Enerson. They know they have an uphill battle, so that obviously is one. But they were 28th today. By the way, a shout out. Santino Ferrucci, 11th today after being in the top five yesterday. So back-to-back good days for the Foyt team and the 14 car. Yep. But I think, you know, then you start looking at Ilott and maybe to another degree Canapino because, you know, they're the same team. So I think they're one of the smaller teams, if you will. But, you know,
Lundgaard. And maybe you just go ahead and list all the rookies. I think it's you just put the rookies on the list, not designated, and you're singling anyone out. But that's where it's going to be a different feel tomorrow when they get the extra horsepower. They will adjust to that, and things go down the wrong path. It's harder for them to climb out of it. So I would just unilaterally say all four rookies. I feel like because of what Coyne has done in the past, I feel better about Stingray Robb, about them figuring it out. And I feel pretty optimistic about Peterson, too, because he's got a team car that's fast, but still has to be on the list. Somebody has to be on the list, and I think the number is, you know, somewhere in the 6-7 range that is not super comfortable right now.
Agreed.
It's not just getting bumped. You do not want to be on that last row. You need to be 30th because then all you are is a cut tire away or a blown engine out of your control of missing the race. If you are in that last row shootout, it is, oh my, I hope it goes well, because if something out of our control goes away, you may not get a second opportunity. The engine won't cool down. It is going to be tough to replicate that. So that's it. That's why the number tends to be a little bit bigger than just who is going to be 34th. You need to be in the top 30. So that's how that number probably is more like 8. I'll still stand by, somebody we don't expect is going to be really concerned.
Well, and we've had two, as you mentioned, incident-free days, or 2 days without any damage, I should say, is a better way of describing. We'll get into that shortly. But, you know, if somebody hits the wall tomorrow or Saturday morning, it could be a real troublesome.
Unless it's a Penske car, a Ganassi car, most of the other Andretti car, you know, we can go down the list. But if it's one of these teams that you might think about, if they're in the bottom half, or if it's a younger driver, yes, they move really high on the list. All right, we'll get into that near incident today on Pit Lane. Your questions at KevinLee23 at Kurt Cavan, hashtag trackside. If you sent it into the Peacock broadcast today, it wasn't answered, feel free to send it back, and we'll do what we can next on Trackside.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Lux Air Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Exiting pit lane, that's onboard Pato Award.
Oh, my goodness. That is unbelievable.
And that's a red and white car. Is that, let's confirm which red and white car this is.
I believe it's R.C. Enerson. You see the rookie sticker on the attenuator there. Pato Award, rightfully unhappy about that.
Car finished now. Quite a few of them.
What the f*** was that?
Hold on.
What the f*** is this guy doing?
It's Thursday, and Trackside Live at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and of course it's May, and in Indianapolis, that means racing, a lot of it, including what we just heard in that rejoiner. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But big time racing on the dirt at Circle City Raceway on the new all clay surface. Friday night, it's the second annual CJ Rayburn Tribute 10,000 to Win Super Late Models and Boss 410 Sprints. Then next Wednesday and Thursday, it's the USAC AmSoil Sprint Car National Championship, Circle City Raceway at the Marion County Fairgrounds. Discount for military, first responders, veterans, seniors, teachers, and ticket information at CircleCityRaceway.com. The news of the day at the Speedway probably should be that rejoiner, the clip we heard from Pato Award and R.C. Enerson. But we're going to focus first on a preview for next year's Indianapolis 500, as one of the competitors who's not in a car this week was on property. Kyle Larson, the 2021 NASCAR Cup Series champion, was here today with Jeff Gordon and others from the Hendrick Motorsports Group. They are spending the day, or have spent the day, embedded with Arrow McLaren, which they will race with next year. And it's news, not only because Kyle was here, but this will be his only day during this month of May to be with the team and see what goes on. We don't have yet a date for when Kyle will actually be in a race car for a test or just a shakedown even, but it'll be a test. And I expect that'll be mid-October for sure. That's when IndyCar has had, the last few years, has had a test involving, you know, a couple different drivers representing the manufacturers, and they've allowed rookies to get their rookie orientation done. So I expect we'll at least see Kyle then, depending on the schedule. Surely that'll be working for him. But if not, there'll be other days. So Kyle Larson got a chance today to see the Speedway and the action involved. We can talk about Kyle, but Kevin, the real interesting thing.
Well, I have one more question on that. Because I was not available to go to the press conference that he had. Did he confirm that it's a 2-year commitment?
He did not. The question did not come up, and then he was off to be with Arrow McLaren. So still not confirmed on that.
Okay.
But we'll see. I think, you know, he deferred some questions about, you know, what he expects because and what questions he'll ask because he goes, look, I need to at least be in a car or prepare to be in a car because it may be several months before I'm in a car. You know, he actually he said I have excitement, but I'm also kind of nervous about this. His anxiety.
Well, he's changed his mind some over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, he watched the cars today. It was funny. It was the press conference, and I wrote about this on IndyCar.com. He was watching listening to the press conference as, you know, taking questions from the media, but he was glancing at the TV board throughout. I mean, he was wanting to see not only those cars pushed out, but those first early laps on the speedway. He was in tune with what was going on the racetrack, and the questions were kind of secondary. Not really a surprise, but you know, he was focused on the television screen. So it'll be fun to have Kyle here.
Mark Gillespie at Whiskey Cast, good to hear from you, Mark, asks, and this will lead you to your next point. Did RC Enerson get called into race control for that boneheaded move in turn one, is how Mark puts it.
I'm sure there was a conversation, of course.
I would think it's the entire team.
I think that's right. Yeah, there seemed to be a communication issue relative to who was talking on the radio in a very busy time of the race activity or the track activity. And he darted, you know, from the racing line basically to the acceleration lane in turn one and swooped right in front of Pato O'Ward, who was clearly already past the pit exit. So he was, you know, that's a tough spot. I don't know how they didn't make contact. And yeah, the whole team, I suspect, got a conversation from everyone at the top.
Yeah, I would assume that is frowned upon in any circumstance, but it might be forgiven if there's no one around. And you have to make sure there is no one. I don't think there's any scenario where you are – it's one to ask. I'll ask this. I think we may have a call with race control tomorrow morning, so we'll see if that comes up. But is there any scenario where that is permitted to try to get out of the way of people or say you have a broken car – could you come down at the end of the front straight there? My guess is it's highly discouraged, but if everybody is in communication and there's no one on pit lane, you know, they probably would forgive it pretty easily. In this case, we're all pretty lucky.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because that would have been really bad for two different cars. I'm looking for there was a conversation that was captured and then transcribed about what was communicated after the fact to RC Enerson by his spotter. And it was basically, look, it's a busy time. I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't found it yet, but it's a busy time and you got to check with me. You have to listen to the spotter to know whether you have clearance to do something like that. This could have been really bad.
And I think what Dylan Welch heard down on pit lane from talking to the team is that the spotter was trying to talk to him, but someone from the pit stand started talking and that stepped on the spotter, or the pit stand was talking to him and the spotter couldn't get through. I'm not sure what the order is there. And that's where, you know, I kind of mentioned that, boy, I wish there was, I hope there is a system, no matter what's going on, that the spotter, if he hits the button, it shuts everybody else up, and you should hear the spotter. So, disaster avoided, and we move on. Tom Duffy says, do cars keep the boost for the rest of the weekend in the race? No, they do not. They have the ability to turn it up tomorrow and for the two qualifying days, and then it goes back to the same level of horsepower on Monday, carb day Friday, and race day as what we have seen today and yesterday. Also, question from, all of these are, Don Davis asked this one, Big D Cart, can IndyCar media ever come up with a better question than what'd you learn? So he's right. There is a better way to ask questions at times, but I have done that many times. And here's the thing. We could try to show how intelligent we are and how unique we are with questions and really get into it. But you know what? That is what I want to know. And sometimes it's just, hey, you know the question. Just talk. Tell us how the car is. So, well, yes. But I do want to know, what did you learn? How was your car?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, actually, because, you know, a lot of times a question rambles on and the driver or the athlete is trying to figure out what the point of the question is, when we really just want to know what we learn. And
I think
rather than tell
the
us
media
about
want to
your
show
day,
we're smart. Yeah.
Tell us about your day. That's what I don't like. So at least there was a question there.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us is one that we should avoid. I'm sure I've been guilty of that as well, because it's still just another way of phrasing is, you know, there was really nothing to script in your race that I'm familiar with. So tell us how it went. You know, when you're interviewing 11th, right? When we have those 45-minute fills, when we get, if there's nothing happened, even Pato Award that I talked to, who finished second, he was, I don't remember what the question was, but I did not have a particular question other than I think I eventually got to what might you have needed to be able to challenge. And he was 17 seconds behind. So I still don't know what the question is. Feel free to let me know the questions. I can use all the help I can get.
Well, and here's the other thing. You know, we can all focus in on four or five drivers or four or five storylines. But when you get down to, like you said, talking to the 11th place guy, he's been nondescript in this race. It's not like you can keep track of everyone. So I'll defend you.
All right. What else have we missed? I've got too many things in my Twitter feed to be able to extract questions that are exactly for us. Why doesn't the hashtag trackside thing work? I hit that last night, and it only showed two things, and one of them was from last week. I know more people have used the hashtag. So Twitter fail. I'm going to blame that on Elon Musk. It used to work. I have one. Yeah. Mark's question is the only one today that shows up when I just simply hit the hashtag trackside. That's not right.
No, it's not
Twitter
right.
Twitter fail.
By the way, a good the question came up about archiving the shows. One of the things, if you have a chance to go back to watch the Peacock broadcast today, that was really interesting. And I saw as people were in the media center, even stopped and really glued into to Hinchcliffe describing what all the buttons do on the steering wheel. I get that question a lot, and I think drivers do as well. But I thought Hinchcliffe was excellent in breaking that down. What all do these buttons do? So if you get a chance to go back and find that was there was a lot of highlights today, but without a lot of dramatic moments, I thought that was a good explanation by Hinch.
On my to-do list tomorrow, when I get down to pit lane, I'm going to do a little walk around with somebody again around a car and explain, and more importantly, have someone else explain the aero options and what we can do. So I'm looking forward to that. Just got a note. We are sold out for VIPs for the Prime 47 Burger Bash. We have no more avails. We are likely oversold just a little bit, but we're going to make it work. They will be enjoying free Prime 47 food on the inside, free drink from Indy Brew Bus. And I got the tweet this morning, hey, do I have to do the $100 VIP to be able to get something from Prime 47? No, you do not. They are going to be selling their sliders, basically, their little burgers on the outside to everyone. And Indy Brew Bus is also going to be selling beverages to everyone. So it's a free event. Bring your lawn chairs. Join us on Monday. If you didn't hear last night, Connor Daly and Joey Molinaro are going to be doing their Speed Street podcast before us. It's almost like a warm-up act, but it's not. It's just the time that works out. They're going to be on from 6:15-ish to 6:45. We'll still be talking to drivers as they come. That'll give us a chance to visit with some people. And then Trackside will be live from 7 until 8. We're working on, I've already got auction items. We've got some fun things like we've always had. That's going to be Monday from 6 until 8:15, 8:30, something like that. Simulator is going to be there from Indy Simulation. Lots of good stuff. And we do still have some tickets available for the Silo event at Silo Auto Conservancy on Thursday night, next Thursday night, a week from tonight. That is $150, and that is ticketed only. And that's a smaller venue. We're going to have 50, 60 people. Clayton Anderson is going to be playing there. Derek Daly is going to help me host. I'm not ready to announce it yet, but I'm real close to confirming a very special guest joining us. I do believe some of my NBC comrades are going to be stopping by after we finish our race weekend production meeting, and that is going to be an all-inclusive evening as well. And multiple simulators are going to be on site there as well. So that's at Silo. My Twitter handle, I need to tweet that again at some point, but RaceForRP.org is where you can purchase tickets there. RaceForRP.org. And that benefits autoimmune disease research and the Relapsing Polychondritis Foundation. Burger Bash benefits the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center. All right, we'll wrap it up, see what we missed. Coming up next on Trackside.
Hi.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
This is Mark Serickson, and you're listening to Trackside.
Final segment. 100 Days to Indy is coming up tonight on the CW. That is on the way in just an hour. And if you don't have the CW, it's on the CW app tomorrow morning. Apologies. I've seen the first 10 minutes. There's a lot of my mug in this one and Hinch as well. But I am told those that have seen the whole episode, it's really good. So we look forward to that. What's coming up at the track tomorrow and also on Saturday in case people don't get to the Friday night podcast?
Yeah, we have gates open tomorrow at 10, and racing or track action from noon until 6 tomorrow. Increased speeds, 100 miles an hour more, 100 horsepower more tomorrow, but speeds will be up 5, 6, 7 miles per hour, so big day tomorrow.
And then early Saturday morning, I think there's a practice, a couple of groups starting at 8:30, qualifying from 11 until 5:50. Coverage here on the radio, IndyCar.com, Peacock as well, and there's some NBC coverage, too, at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Mike and Jake, Beyond the Bricks next, talking Eddie Sachs and more on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.